Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I am Philip.
And we are here with the very last X Factor Investigations issue review episode. It's been a long road, as they say in Star Trek Enterprise.
Getting from there to here.
Yeah. Years in the making, this episode.
Yeah. It's a wild ride, and reading these issues, it's a nice send-off. But it still makes me sad.
Yeah.
But still way better than just goodbye. Oh, this is ending.
Yeah.
Oh, we get two pages to wrap up all the character development. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're doing a lot of issues in this episode because each issue is focused on a character or two and what happens next.
And it's sort of just, they all go together and they're pretty quick reads.
Yeah.
It's not arduous to read these six issues.
No,
because you just go one to the other to the other.
Yeah, like it's weird trying to stop or break them up. Like, it doesn't make sense to break these into like twos or threes.
Yeah.
So,
and in our last X Factor episode, we talked about the Lego video game, but I wanted to talk about the X Mansion that I'm currently building recording. Which is fun, has a lot of minifigures. The first one I put together was, like, from bag one was Wolverine.
Because of course.
Of course. The main criticism I have from this set is that it repeats some of the characters that they had either in the blind boxes they did earlier this year or with the X-Jet. So they double dipped a little. I'm excited to get to some of the new characters. I mean, I already put together Professor X and Jean Grey were two new characters.
Okay, I was going to ask if they were the new ones.
I am excited to get to Bobby Iceman.
Yay.
He's in there somewhere.
Oh, good.
And it's a fun little build. There are so many little Easter eggs on the stickers. The Wanted poster from Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah.
Is it there? The emergency exit, which says fire exit, pyro has graffitied and it says pyro exit.
Yeah.
So even putting it together, there are fun little things to pay attention to.
That's fun.
I love Lego. And I recently made room. I have to put the bins away, but I deconstructed my whole little main street so I can put some other stuff up in the living room. And then later, I can always put those sets together again because I deconstructed them backwards and put them in the numbered baggies as if it's a new set. So I just got baggies and wrote the appropriate number so I can bring them out.
Shout out to Paul from the Star Trek A's.
Yeah, for having a friend who had that idea.
Yeah.
So it's useful.
It continues the enjoyment. It ups the replayability.
It does. So that is something I'm doing in the free time that I have when I'm just watching TV. Putting together some Lego.
Yeah.
It's a nice stress reliever.
You love that. And we need those these days.
So,
also a stress reliever, Asta's doing some grooming and she's very cute.
Yes.
She's very silky.
She's wanted treats all day.
She has. Sometimes she's gotten them.
Yes.
More often from me, I think, than from you.
Yes. I just give her pets.
Yeah. She's been getting some banana because Nick the bun is on another round of antibiotics. It worked out pretty well. And then he started sneezing a whole lot. So I got nervous and emailed the vet and they're like, well, we're going to blast this infection out.
Yep.
So it's 2 weeks on the heightened antibiotic plus the topical anti-inflammatory and antibiotic drops.
And so, he's pretty used to getting picked up. Like, he knows the deal. When we come to him and we move to pick him up, most of the time, he's like, okay, I know this isn't terrible.
Or
and it takes 2 minutes.
Or I'll run to one spot and then I'll stop running.
Yeah.
It's not like before where it's like all over the basement.
Yeah.
So he's all also right. So soft.
Yes.
So floofy. And be sure to check out our Instagram page for updates on Clarice.
Yes. Clarice, the foster bun.
Yes. Okay.
All right. X Factor.
The final countdown.
Yeah. The first issue is Jamie and Layla centric.
It is. We get some Layla text boxes. She's in Marrakesh. There's some info about like what Marrakesh means, some of the other iconic landmarks and what they mean. But it is all disrupted by a car bombing, which I seems odd, or like a choice
Yeah.
to put a car bombing in an Arabic country or
It
Maghreb.
or putting like a car bombing in Ireland would
Yeah.
have the same impact. It's like, okay,
Yeah.
really? All right.
I mean, I know there's the whole thing with Western Sahara and the separatists there, but it turns out that that is not the focus. It's more about this uncle and nephew combo that we have on page.
So this nephew thinks that Jamie Madrox in his demon form is a djinn and it can grant a wish.
And bring his mom back. So he goes around, he picks a lot of pockets and tries to pick Layla's pocket, but he flings one in her face. And so shockingly, this takes her out for a moment for him to get away. And so he goes back, turns in all the wallets, and his uncle's like, "Sure, but are you completely sure about what we're about to do?" And he says, "Yeah, he needs his mother back." So Layla goes around and follows, and what we get is an unsure uncle reading from a book of Latin, and Layla barges through, and she is in charge. She's got a smile on her face. She knows that this is going how this is supposed to end. And they go through. There's still a candle. The uncle is still muttering. And the kid sort of still recounts, like, "This is my chance to get my mom back."
And this djinn can help me. And he's
Yeah.
like, that's my husband.
Like,
He's not a genie.
he does not have that power.
He is just malformed right now.
Yeah.
But this uncle who's been muttering Latin, it actually works. And Layla's like, this wasn't supposed to work.
No, we got a flashback to what it was supposed to be, and it was supposed to be an ineffective spell. And she's like, "It wasn't even like a chapter. This is more like a footnote in the adventures with Jamie." So this big portal sort of opens, and the uncle gives Madrox a locket that belonged to the mother slash his sister, and he goes through the portal. And Layla's like, "What did you do?"
And Demon Jamie comes back through with this monstrous form of the mother. Like, it is, you don't want that coming back,
There's a
kid.
couple extra faces. There's a lot of desiccation, a lot of rot. Doesn't not a good look. But she reaches towards the kid, and his flesh just sort of rips, collapses off of
Yeah,
him,
she like melts the flesh and then.
throws the skeleton away, but there's still some gooey bits that are also flung off. Like, it is rough.
Layla tries to protect herself with her little shield bubble, and she's like, I know this probably won't work, and it sure as hell doesn't.
Nope, but Madrox recognizes something and tugs this demon back through the portal. Lots of screaming. Somehow he's screaming, even though he doesn't have a mouth. He has more like gills. So he's flung through, the portal collapses, and the uncle's like, "Well, she was my sister too. I was sad about the nephew, but..."
And she's like, you just killed your nephew, or he killed himself, depending on your perspective. Anyway, we're leaving, so give me your clothes so I can disguise my demon husband. Thanks.
And they walk off together into a black panel.
We roll into our second story, where it is the Reverend John Maddox who is preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning, and he sees a guy come in and he thinks to himself, oh, I helped this dude. With his marital problems, I told his wife to leave him. Like, he's a piece of fucking shit.
Like to flee.
And I think he's probably here to talk to me. But then a friend comes in and they have guns. They open fire on the congregation. The deacon, among others, dies. And the one of the gunmen points his gun at the Reverend. Rain busts through in her wolf form.
Full, like, we haven't seen this sort of full wolf face in a while, and I
Yeah.
missed it. It's my favorite.
Through the stained glass, she takes out one of the dudes, like just.
Clocks him up the side of the head with his own
Yeah.
gun.
She takes the gun, shoots the other guy dead.
I mean, you love Buddha, 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 Buddha.
Yeah.
So
And
he
there's a
was
lot of Buddha Buddha Buddhas.
there. Are he was fighting at Rain. Rain fires Buddha, 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 Buddha back.
And the Reverend is like, oh, Rain, calm down.
He's already dead.
You're not here to attack me, but you need to skedaddle right away. So she jumps out of the window. The police come. He makes a report for several hours.
There's so many body bags.
Yeah. And he finally sits down, and luckily, his wife and his son are visiting his in-laws. So he is talking with his wife on the phone, just saying, yep, I'm okay.
Everything is perfectly, and then because
Because Rain jumps back in. And he's like, no, I just saw a mouse. I gotta go. Bye. And he has a talk with Rain about everything.
he's like, you look real rough.
And she's like, I was pregnant. And he's like, how's the kid? And she's like, he's dead.
Yeah. She recounts the whole war, hell war on Earth, and what happened to Tyr, and how she got sort of blasted out into the Arctic. She looks like a border collie in
She
this
really
one
does.
panel.
So in the Arctic, after the whole
Like the
thing,
close-up is funky, but
yeah.
like the full body shot, she looks more wolf-like.
And she sees Hrimhari, and he's like, no, how do you get to Niflheim? Wow, we can be together.
We'll be a happy family. Tyr's
And
here with me.
she hugs him, but then we snap back to reality where she's fucking a polar bear. Which
It's
get
true.
which gets blasted away by Guido, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why were you hugging a polar bear? Like, you're almost dead. What's going on, Rain?
And she can't even necessarily put things together, like
Because she's been wandering in the snow for
for
days.
days. And so he, as in Strong Guy, feels sort of bad, even though he doesn't have a soul. So he's like, I can still recognize that this is not good for you. I'm just going to send you someplace. And the timing is actually sort of perfect with where he sends her. So,
So that brings us up to the current time.
yeah, with a
And
chatting in the office.
yeah. And Rain's like, well, I guess I'll be leaving now. And Maddox is like, you know what? The deacon just got murdered. We have an opening, and he didn't have any relatives or anything, and his house is empty. So if you want to be deacon,
Yeah, you can stay here. We'll
yeah.
talk through what that process is. And Rain accepts.
And that's where we leave her.
Yeah, there's a sort of funny moment where Rain is telling, fighting Strong Guy in the Arctic of like, you bastard, you killed him. And Strong Guy's like, well, I'm not going to kill you. So long. If you're lucky, you'll never see me again, and give Johnny my regards. And in the next panel, when they're back in the office, she's like, oh, by the way, Strong Guy sends his regards.
So as we're going through these issues, the roster on the title page is getting smaller and smaller as players are removed.
It's true.
So next up, the cover sort of tells you what's going on, like which characters are the focus. And this was the inspiration, issue 259, but before our first podcast logo.
Yeah.
So,
Although I had thought when I was explaining it to someone, like my mom or my aunt or something, I had thought it was Richter in Shatterstar, but it's Longshot in Shatterstar.
Yeah.
So, the three of them, Longshot, Richter, and Shatterstar, are still on the title page, along with Polaris M. Darwin, multiple man in demon form, and the butterfly.
That
It
code
just
name just, I hope that code name,
ended with the
yeah.
series.
It just, it's never used. Never used.
In the Steve's's Infinity comic, I don't think they refer to Layla as
I don't
Butterfly.
think anyone wants to refer to her as Butterfly anymore. It's based off of like one issue
Yeah.
where there was a butterfly. Like, that's it. All right, so Richter has a knife slid to him.
He's in a cell.
He's in lockup.
He has much longer hair than when we last saw him.
And it turns out he's a warrior in the Mojoverse.
Yeah, which I wasn't ex definitely was not expecting when I had first read
No.
this.
And his neck, so he has to go to the arena. That's why a knife was slid to him. They're like, it's your turn to go fight again. And he's like, I'm fighting. None of us want to be here, but we gotta figure out how the fuck we break loose because Mojo basically hears everything.
Yeah, he doesn't know where he'll go, so he's been winning fights by knocking them out, so he hasn't had to kill anyone. But then we have a new knight that steps through.
And it's Shatterstar.
It's the double swords that gives him away.
And Richter is like, okay, I can use my powers. I can try to use the earth against him. I can use my clappy clap.
Like, I have to figure out something. And
And
it's
Shatterstar doesn't recognize him.
no, the helmet comes off. We get Shatterstar with like this weird, well, also longer hair from the last time we
Yeah.
saw him, but not like the full pony from his X Factor days
Right.
or X Force.
X-Force.
Yeah.
90s X-Force,
Oof.
which I don't foresee us covering.
Everyone is super muscled. Like
Yeah.
Richter is super muscled in a weird way.
Yeah. I'm
Like,
sorry, he's a Latino twink. Like Latino otter.
yeah.
He's a Latino otter. He is not a Latino buff muscle god.
I mean, I like Otter better than Twunk.
Yeah.
So Mojo's
He has too
there.
much hair. It's definitely an otter.
Oh, yeah.
Mojo's like, what?
Mojo does.
Insert Ryan Krall Mojo voice from Homo Superior.
I mean, no one can do it better.
Yeah, so the fight continues, then launched.
Shatterstar is about to stabby
Yeah.
stab Richter, and not in a fun way. And then he
And he
gets
gets
blasted.
from behind and not in a fun way. And it's long shot. And again, Richter's like, long shot, it's me, Richter. And long shot's like, who?
Who are you, and why are you calling me that weird name? And this
Yeah.
guy on the in the background is like, I sort of like it. So they're like, we're rebelling. We're gonna fight Mojo. We have to get out of here. So Richter does a great big shockwave to cover their escape. And they go.
And they find this safe house, which very Doctor Who, bigger on the inside.
It looked like a little rundown cinder block house, but then it's all sorts of glowy tubes and bits and everything on the inside.
And there's a dude named Arise. He's a creator, and apparently
It's like 15 feet tall.
he makes clones, but not quite clones.
He sort of like
Mix.
scrambles it up a little bit,
Yes.
like takes some fun bits out. And Mojo even knows that he's creating clones to fight,
Yeah.
that Arise is creating clones to fight Mojo. Mojo doesn't seem to care. I think because Mojo gets stuff out of it, like he can capture these people and then he has more characters to fight. Like it's good viewership
Yeah.
when a new character comes online. So he sort of lets this rebellion sort of happen without caring too much about it. So,
So they throw Shatterstar into one of the pods.
yeah. And like, he tried to fight Mojo and lost. He got his brain scrambled a little bit. We're going to unscramble him. So, that is sort of going on in the background as they're chatting and trying to get more exposition going. And we get some of the like background of taking what he wants for a clone, scrambling it around for a little bit.
And then Shatterstar is healed, And Richter's like, Star. And Shatterstar's responds, Richter, you look like hell.
Yeah, it's been rough for poor Richter.
But then there's an explosion. Mojo comes in with his soldiers. A battle ensues. And Mojo it just loves it. And this is where Spiral comes in. Apparently no one's seen Spiral before.
Yeah, is this her first appearance after the fact?
Chronologically?
Yeah. So we also find out as they're working over Shatterstar that Longshot is like brand new.
Yeah, like not even
he's been name. Operational a few days, which is also, yeah, why he doesn't really have a name. And the dude with the horns is like, oh, I like that name. It's like he's a clone of that guy being Shatterstar. So the big reveal, Shatterstar is Longshot's dad, sort of.
It gets even weirder as we go on.
Just wait.
So they finally figured out between Shatterstar and Richter that Mephisto didn't throw them across space. He threw them across time.
And space.
Dimensionally.
Yeah. So they are who they have been through the whole series. Longshot is not.
Right.
And Shatterstar's like, I'm going to fight. And like falls on his face out of the tube.
He conjures up a portal. And he has now transported them solely through time.
Yeah, same spot, just 100 years in the future.
And
very confusing for Richter, because Richter's like wanted to stay and fight. But Shatterstar is very sure of himself.
And that's all that he can do right now.
Yeah, he just fell on his face. Like he can't do much of anything.
They find a very pregnant Allison Blair.
It's Dazzler.
Dazzler is here. Wow, another Ryan Krull poll for this episode.
The gays love Dazzler.
So I know I have the omnibus I need to crack open with a classic series.
Oh.
She's pregnant from her husband,
Longshot.
And they get her to a bed. Sort of like an operating table bed, and she gives birth to
Shatterstar.
So they are each other's dads.
They are very strange.
It's real fucked up.
Yeah, Shatterstar sort of explains this all of like, this is how it needs to happen.
Yeah.
So Allison is passed out, as I imagine one would be after one gives birth, and he gets some of the old equipment up and going, and the plan is they're going to wipe Allison's mind so that she doesn't remember the whole pregnancy thing, right. And do
the same to Longshot
somehow.
Yep.
And drop off the baby Shatterstar to the people who raised current Shatterstar.
Yep.
To keep the whole timeline thing intact.
Yes.
It's wild. Richter is just sort of like along for the ride and very confused.
Yes. And this is where they go. They will go 100 years in the future.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
We get a Polaris Quicksilver issue. Right.
So Polaris is getting drunk in a bar. She's cut off by the bartender, but she's like, yeah, you can't do that. I have powers. And he's like,
no. I will destroy your bar.
And he's like, prove it. And she's like, how about that pool table? And just tosses it out of a window with her powers into a car. And
like she could have killed many people.
Yep. So then she gets another drink and just continues on. The police come in and pull a gun. And she's like, I could do so many things.
I will describe all the things I could do to this gun. I could
shove those guns up your asses and pull the triggers. But instead, I'm just dropping the clips. You have one bullet each still, so you can choose to fire it at me. But you know what? I probably will turn those around and just send them right into your heads.
Yeah.
And that's when
she gets more drinks.
She gets more drinks. The police are outside with a SWAT team because the bartender is like, what would it take to stop you? And she said, a SWAT team.
Yeah.
So we see the law enforcement trying to figure out what to do. A hand come in and show an ID and saying, I'll take care of this. And a figure goes in while she is getting more and more drunk,
she falls off the bar stool.
And it's Quicksilver standing there, and he's like, hey, you're coming into Avengers custody. Sorry. Because this is when the Unity Squad was around.
Oh, okay.
So,
but Polaris still remembers when Quicksilver was a dick.
Yes. So,
how do we?
And she's not real happy to see him. He's like, we can discuss all this back at Avengers headquarters. Like, come on. She tosses him out into the same car. And a battle ensues. She's drunk and using her powers to grab, like, all the guns to fire at Quicksilver.
Which he can evade.
Yes, but still, it's the thought that counts.
It's like, you tried to shoot me. Wanda never tried to shoot me.
And then she gets a manhole cover, and they're both on it, flying up in the air. He punches her.
She is pleased to know that damage control is still a thing. She doesn't have to worry about property damage.
Yeah. So he punches her, knocks her out. They fall to the ground. Pietro does what he can to cushion their fall. We see her getting handcuffs thrown on her. And then she is tossed into lockup because the police assure Quicksilver, we have means to take care of her so she can't use her powers.
Even though the toilet in the corner looks like it's metal.
Oh, it's probably metal. But then a bright light flashes. Some dude transports in. And
Harrison Snow, CEO of a rather large company. I'm here to offer you
the ground floor opportunity for a project of ours called X Factor.
And she's like, I'm in. Tell me more. And there she goes. So that's the continuity between this and the all-new X Factor.
Which I haven't read yet.
That you haven't read yet.
Yep.
But it's got Quicksilver and Polaris. Now you know.
And Gambit.
Well, yes.
With cats.
With cats. And without clothes on that one cover.
Yeah. It's somewhere.
I think it's over on my side.
Oh, it is. Yes. Okay.
In the Gambit section.
Which is just below the Hercules section. All right. So we have Monet burning a signed picture of herself.
And in very Monet fashion, it says, it was your pleasure meeting me, M.
All right. So Darwin is in Las Vegas. He's on the hunt. And he's like, I'm going to take this battle to Hela, and breaks into where she used to be.
Like, I don't, like, he is still messed up from whatever it was that she had done to him way back when they were in Vegas and winning big. So he is on the hunt for her. He wants out.
So this warehouse, it turns out, is just a chop shop. It's not her headquarters anymore. So it's just these dudes, like, salvaging pieces from cars. They open fire on him.
Buddha, 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 Buddha.
He turns into purple jello.
He's pissed. Like, I couldn't turn into a man of steel. I had to turn into a man of jello. He's just not happy. So he basically yells at them
to go turn themselves into the police,
or I'll kill you, and does like this whole like glowy eyes rage thing at them, and they just run away.
And Monet says, very impressive, as she hops down. And
he thinks that she's like a copy, she's a zombie, she's something evil, and she's like, are you out of your mind, and punches him across the room.
And we sort of get what happened to her.
Yeah.
Where she is like, I was left in New York.
Yeah.
The headquarters was rubble. The rest of the city was fine. Headquarters was rubble. I stayed there for 2 days thinking someone would show up.
No one did.
Showed up. So I thought, where did we spend the second most amount of time? Vegas.
Yeah.
So I came here and here you are.
And they're currently all that's the team. So they go through and
she's like, come on, I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah.
But then Hela sneaky transports in and she's like, find him.
Yeah. She heard that portal opened in the warehouse. So Darwin wasn't far off.
Nope. So they're in a lounge. There's a lounge singer.
Of course there is.
Very uncomfortable looking booth seats that they're in.
They
There's
do you
their
know what they
backs
remind me
turned.
of? A bathtub slash the Fantastic.
Oh yeah.
They're serving that
Yeah.
oblong.
So Darwin came to in Tunisia, we find out. And that sort of brings them up there, both consuming a lot of alcohol,
It's true.
especially Darwin. And this is where Monet shares, Guido brought me back from the dead. And then the lounge singer is singing, Heaven, I'm in heaven. And she gets pissed and she's like, there's no such thing. There's just blackness and despair, unless you're lucky enough to go to hell where you're tortured endlessly. So real bleak.
Yeah. So someone tries to get her off stage, which doesn't go well for that person. But there's a moment of Monet wanting to feel something.
Yes.
So out of all of that stuff, she puts the moves on Darwin, and they end up in bed together in a really weird way.
Yeah, and she's totally passed out.
She snores.
Yes. Hella comes in and says, "Is this a bad time? I understand you're looking for me. My understanding is that you were quite strident in." And Darwin responds, "No, you heard wrong. Everything's fine. I'm happy the way that I am. I wouldn't change a thing." Hella says, "My mistake." And she disappears, and he rolls over and cuddles Monet.
Is weird.
Weird.
Like, of all the endings, this is the weirdest one for
And
me.
that's the end of the issue.
Yeah.
Like, that's where two of the remaining four characters are off the book now.
Yeah.
It's.
So we get the final issue. We get Madrox putting a sorry, we're closed sign up on X Factor Investigations.
And we are in Kansas at the homestead
The
of Ma
Madrox farm.
yeah. And Layla's in the bathroom with a positive pregnancy test.
Yep.
And Trip comes in and she's like, this wasn't supposed to happen for 2 more years. Like, things are not going according to plan anymore.
It's old Trip.
Old Trip comes in and he's like, I don't have much time. And she's like, well, why are you
He
here?
does say congratulations to the both of
Yeah.
them. And
He makes it clear he's about to get murdered by
it's
a
true.
parallel dimension version of Elder Trip.
Yeah.
And Layla's pretty okay with it. She's making a peanut butter sandwich.
She's like, why are you here? Like, oh, he's trying to kill you? Good for him. And Trip says, yes, but bad for you. And I didn't quite follow this. Like, all that happened was this ghostly elder Trip called the police.
Yeah.
I thought that was very strange.
I don't know what the. And then he's like, my time, I feel it. Bye.
Like, his evil monologue was just him being like, you're squatting on a farm that's not yours.
Yeah,
The police are coming. Har, har,
stay
har.
out of my fucking business, Elder Trip, okay? Which is why
Yeah.
she throws a sandwich through him. And then he explodes.
Yeah,
And
like,
she picks up the sandwich, blows off whatever hairs are on it, puts it back
and
on the plate.
it's like, I could make a new one, but he wouldn't be able to tell the difference anyway.
So she goes out to the barn and opens up the trap door, basically tosses the sandwich in at him, and is like, I'm pregnant with your child. Quit attacking me.
Yeah, he.
And he's like, oh, and then just willingly jumps back into the little pit.
And shuts the door.
Yeah.
Like, he had broken free.
Yep.
He was about to, like, sashi slash or stabby stab. But yeah, he's with it. We've seen signs that he's with it enough to recognize words and
Yeah.
recognize Layla.
Then the police pull up.
It turns into a whole thing.
But now what, finally, after like what, 15 issues or something, we get his thought bubbles back.
And it's the I'm pregnant, pregnant, and you're the father, pregnant, pregnant, I'm pregnant.
Pregnant.
And he is just praying.
Yeah, and a light shines down on him.
But we don't
A
know.
heavenly light. But then Layla's having a discussion with the cops. She's like, no, this is my husband's family's property.
Like, you need to leave. I'm
And they ask
supposed to be
for
here.
the husband, and she's like, he's not available right now.
Yeah.
You can tell me anything, though.
So
Some
they.
dude with a giant gun.
Yeah, they try to arrest her. She does a force field thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't like the look of that. And it's true. It's enough to menace her force field. But who do we get in the pit with
It's
Madrox?
the Morrigan.
It's the Morrigan.
Terry's back, and she's like, oh, all right.
When I told you to pray to me if you had any problems, somehow this wasn't what I was
And
expecting.
their history, like.
Yeah. But her
So,
outfit is banger.
yeah, it is.
Like the gloves, the whole raven thing on her chest, the gold belt, the shoulder pads.
Demanda, we need you to
That
be the Morrigan.
would be like, what a swerve if someone was expecting like a Jean Resurrection look and you come out as the Morrigan.
With red hair and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Back on the front porch, dude is firing his green gun at Layla again, and her shield is barely holding up.
She conks her head super hard. They put the handcuffs on, and the Teresa comes out,
Yeah.
full Morrigan. Oh, she had, oh dear, a weapon. How worrisome is an earthly weapon to a goddess? And she smirks as she shrees. We haven't gotten a shree in so long.
Dozens of issues.
I missed
So
it.
the cops are like, oh no, you're coming to this cop car, lady. And Madrox and a bunch of dupes are like, that's my wife. I'm Jamie Madrox, and you're trespassing on my farm. I certainly hope you have a damn good reason, or my lawyer will be in touch.
Well, to be fair, he says, that's no lady, that's my wife. What
True.
a Madrox thing to say.
So the cops go off while he and Layla hug. The dupes are cheering him on.
Except for the one who's like, yeah, great, if the world wasn't overpopulated enough.
You always need a downer in the dupe bunch.
We do.
And Jamie explains and proves basically this is my family farm. No.
The cops leave.
They go back inside with the Morrigan, Terry, and they're just having a glass of water.
They're getting, Terry gets everyone up to date on what everyone else has been up to. And
And she's like, I can get everyone back together for you. Do you want X Factor to get back together? And Jamie and Layla look at each other, and Jamie says, we have a child to raise, a farm to get up and running, and a world to leave to other people to save. We're done.
we're done.
And that's it.
That is the last issue.
And there's a big letter at the end. So Peter David had a seizure.
Stroke.
Stroke, I'm sorry. He had a stroke. I want to say in publishing time, like a year and a half before this or so. And it was a slow recovery. And he wrote and confronted it. He's like, a lot of X fans out there are saying that Marvel canceled this book because I had a stroke. That's not true. I
Like,
worked with Jordan White, my editor, and even going into the Hell on Earth War, we knew that that would be the last big arc, and then everyone would be set free. Like,
there
I'd
was
be.
a logical conclusion to a lot of people's threads.
Yes. So it had already been in the works before I had a stroke.
Yeah.
And
Like, you wouldn't have gotten 6 issues of tying all the characters getting a wrap up.
no, we've seen how the X Office cancels shit now. They're or Marvel period. They're like, you're canceled, and they have to cram everything into the three last pages.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Still, oh, that chaps my ass. Poor L. Ewing.
Yeah. So
And he's like, you know what? This was never the most popular book. I always wanted to write something that would sell 100,000 copies each, but I would rather have it be the favorite book of 9 people than 100 people's 9th favorite book.
yeah.
So this ultimately met my goals, and also I've spent nearly 10 years writing these characters. I'm never going to be able to read anything with these characters in it ever again because I'm always going to be fighting the impulse of saying, what would I have done?
Yeah.
Like, how would I have written their dialogue?
Because I didn't hear that their dialogue in my head, therefore this is all false.
Yes. So, which is something that recently Gail Simone on Facebook posted something very similar. Just putting it out there because she has a bunch of us fans that follow her. But she has a lot of her industry friends too. And it's fun seeing their comments back and forth. And she basically posed the question that, is other creators, do you feel the same way that once you get done with a book, like you can't return to it, you can never read that character again? And so many creators were like, yep, any character that I wrote, and some people were listing specific ones like XYZ, I can never read their stories again because I spent so much time with them that it just like Peter David said at the end of this issue in the series, I can never go back to that. I can never just be a fan and read those characters again because I spent so much time with them. So,
Which makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I totally, as a writer, when I finished my first book, which was a dual biography of my great grandma and my great great grandma, you live with those people for so long, especially that one, because it took me 5 years to write ultimately, where you're spending so much time considering different things, and it doesn't matter if it's fiction or nonfiction, they live in your head. And you, while you're crafting something like a story, again, fiction or nonfiction, you're wondering, like, okay, what were the motivations and what were they thinking? And how do you get from A to Y, or well, yeah, A to Y, even A to Z, A to C? Like, it doesn't matter. You, even when you're writing a historical thing, you still have to fill in those gaps. You have to draw logical conclusions, just as if you're writing fiction, that it has to make sense no matter what. Even in fantasy, things have to make some sort of sense. Characters need a motivation, they need a reason. So, it was interesting for him to put that right here out front that he could never write these characters again, but then he wrote some of them again. So, but that makes sense. He's still doing it, but I don't see him ever reading something with them again. So,
Which is sort of, yeah.
it
On even on our side, like having done this whole project, and now that we've seen Layla and Jamie show up in the Infinity comic, it's just like, oh, they
Yeah.
used to be main characters and now they're sort of nerfed and
Well, yeah, and I mean, Jason Lowe is writing the Dazzler series right now, and Jamie's in it, but as a background character. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, I like what he's doing with Jamie, but after you read so many fucking issues of X-Factor Investigations, you develop a familiarity and a comfort. Like Jamie Madrox in this book is a comfort character for me now, where I really liked the setting, and I read these issues for the first time this morning. I didn't know how the series ended,
Oh.
and I sort of like where they left off. Like, they're farming, they're having a good life, like they want family, they're gonna farm, because we saw in his first appearance where he is in that fucking blue suit or green suit, is green in his first appearance, riding a tractor. So it's like he knows how to do it.
I mean,
After his parents died, he was farming solo for like 10 years. So it, or seven or something like that. So I get that you always want to go back as a writer to get the toys out of the toy box that you really loved and people loved this series. But I wish that in some respects, like Jamie and Layla had been left in the toy box for a long time.
Well, it's
And
more like aspects of them. Like if Jamie is unique in being a kill crop mutant, like that hasn't been touched since the beginning or since his death and then hopping through those different realities. Like no one else necessarily does that. So I feel like there's still aspects, even when they're used, that's left out on the table. So.
It was a good end. I'm glad that he took the six issues to close out all the characters and set them up for different things where writers could pick them up again, because they're all in very different spots.
The only one that doesn't sit great is Monet. And I feel like we've had some angst with how she's been treated
I
a
don't,
lot recently.
and I know that Regina from House of X loves Monet from this series, and I really want to ask her the next time I run into her what issues, and have a conversation and just say from like, here's my take on the character. I'd love to get her take because I loved Monet at the beginning of the series where
Yes.
she was fucking badass.
And have had more agency and not as much stuff was happening to her.
Yeah, and then she turned angry, and then she,
Stop, didn't stop being angry.
yeah, and then she died, and then she slept with Darwin.
I'm like, girl, you can do,
Okay.
I don't know. I don't like that combo.
No. So I feel that of the many characters that Peter David was writing for this series, that Monet was probably the one he was least invested in. That's the vibe I'm getting from her character arc.
Yeah.
But let's talk about where we go from here in terms of X Factor stuff. So we're going to do a retrospective on this series, a big look back, and I'm going to try to get a guest or two to come on board and just have a fun time as we look back over X Factor investigations. And it's tons of issues, like 100 plus issues, I feel. I don't know. Maybe I'll count for the retrospective. I
Hundred
don't know.
22.
Okay. So just to give a look back, and then we'll figure out where we go from there.
Yeah.
Like, are we doing all new? Are we doing 90s?
There's only 20 issues of All New.
Okay. That's
Maybe
doable.
24.
That's not bad.
No, and you love Gambit.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do that next. I don't know. But we're sort of setting ourselves up. I mean, this is coming out in December. To take a little bit of a hiatus from releasing new episodes while we produce some stuff on the back end, just to give us some space. So, there will be some stuff trickling out in January to set up other stuff in the new year. So, I don't foresee us restarting X Factor for a month or two. For those who
Okay.
are listening in who love the X Factor content, we'll come back to X Factor somehow once we determine it, but we're doing a little work behind the scenes to roll out some new stuff. So,
But we still have Star Trek, we still have Alpha Flight.
yep, and there's still Defender stuff that I have in the hopper.
Yeah.
So, we're probably going to lay down a few extra episodes of both of those. So maybe we can get some new episodes out while we are not producing. Like, we're going to try to double up on recording stuff for the next few weeks so that we have stuff in the hopper. So there's still something, but you won't get like the timely bun updates.
Yeah,
You
that
won't get like the in the moment, this is happening in January bun updates. You'll get like this is happening in November, December bun updates.
so you may need to follow us on Instagram to get some of the Bun Bun updates.
Yes. And I know that we've discussed offline what we're cooking up, and I'm really excited for it. I've spent a lot of time with some of the stuff that we're going to be working with. So we'll do some sort of announcement. Maybe we'll do like one of those really annoying 5-minute episodes of the podcast to announce things. Like, this is what's coming up.
Oh.
Like, this is a new season, like a trailer.
Oh.
Be real fancy.
Do we need to come up with different things to say that would sound like us in the future?
Innovation. Synergy.
Something.
Yes. But anyway, be on the lookout for a retrospective that we'll release before the end of the year, maybe. I don't know. On X Factor investigations. But as you said, Star Trek and Alpha Flight is ongoing and ubiquitous. So there's plenty of that
Yeah.
to go around. And even with all new X Factor, there is Star Trek written by Peter David. So we're
Yeah.
not going to run out of Peter David anytime soon, which is
Oh,
wonderful.
this is coming out in December, and I'm doing Plant Man with Chad. Do I get to say that? I don't know
I
if I
don't
get to
know.
say that.
You're, yes.
You heard it here first, folks.
Unless you subscribe to his newsletter, where it was probably promoted at the beginning of December.
Yeah, to be released in January, I think.
Okay. And right around this time, check out the Patreon feed. No, it might be in the main. I think it's the main feed where myself and Jason Lowe join Chad to discuss Jamie Madrox's first appearance.
Oh yeah,
Yeah. Giant Size Fantastic Four number four. The
I got
first.
that. Yeah. That's awesome.
You got it signed by Chris Claremont at the Uncanny
When
Experience.
I was dressed in an alternative reality, Jamie Madrox, and
Yeah.
he didn't seem.
He told you to pitch it to Marvel, and you're like, it's been pitched.
Yeah, Peter David did it.
Yeah. But still fun
Yes.
to. It's always fun to interact with someone who has created a character that you really, really like.
Yeah.
And Chris Claremont is like that person for so many X characters, it's not even funny.
It's true.
All right, everyone. So we will catch you next time. Thank you for tuning in. We're on Instagram at X Factor Files Podcast. Let us know what you thought of this final arc and how you enjoyed or didn't enjoy or felt about where the characters ended up.
Be well.
Bye.